All right, so let's start with the first Ramban. So Yaakov's traveling. He's leaving Be'er Sheva. He's heading to Charan. And he stops off in a particular place. We know what that particular place was. He was in the spot of the future Beis HaMikdash. And he has an incredible dream. Pasuk Yud Beis. V'yachalom v'nei sula mutzav artza v'roshom migi ha'shamayma v'hinei malachi Elohim oylem v'yardim bo. He has a dream where he sees this ladder, which is Mutzav Artsa, standing on the ground, with its head reaching the heavens, and angels ascending and descending. Okay, so let's take a look at the first Ramban in Parshas Vayetzei, on the words, V'hinei Sulam Mutzav Artsa V'rosho Magia HaShemayma. Very beautiful words. Hero V'chalom HaNavua. What was Hashem showing Yaakov? What was Hashem saying to Yaakov Avinu? What was happening here? Yaakov was 63 years old when he got the bracha from his father. He then went to learn for 14 years. Now he's 77 years old. He goes to sleep. He has this wild dream, this nevuah, this prophetic dream. It says the Ramban, Hera'ov v'chalom ha'nevuah, ki kol ha'nasa ba'aretz nasa al yedei ha'malachim. Who are these malachim that are going up and down? Hashem is showing Yaakov Avinu that everything that happens down below takes place through malachim. Now, malach means angel, but malach also in Hebrew can mean messenger, and it's both in this case. In other words, Hashem uses malachim, angels, as his messengers to carry things out. But don't for a second think that means that malachim are independent, you know, beings who do what they want. Va'kol b'gzeiras elyon aleihem. Every move a malach makes is with a gezeiras elyon, with a divine decree. Hashem tells the malach, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how I expect you to behave. Ki malachei Elohim asher shalach Hashem lishalich v'aretz lo ya'asu ketana u'gedola ad shuvam lishyatziv al adon kol ha'aretz. Because the angels which travel around, lishalich v'aretz, they go around the world. They can't make a move, neither small nor big. Until they what? They first come to Hashem and say, Hashem, what's my mission? Lemur lefanov, to declare before Hashem, Hisalachnu ba'aretz, we were making the rounds, v'hinei yosheves b'shalva, and we saw that this particular place, everything has come. Omalei acherev adam, this place, Ukraine, mamish war. What should we do? Angels ask Hashem, what should we do? V'yitzava aleim lashuv laredes ba'aretz v'lasos devaro. So Hashem gives the marching orders. Hashem says to the angels, go back down to such and such a place, and here's what I want you to do. So what was Hashem showing Yaakov Avinu? He sees this ladder, angels going up, angels going down, angels marching around the world, carrying out all of the orders. But however, what's the end of the dream? Pasuk Yud Gimel, and we'll keep reading the Ramban in a second, just listen to the Pasuk. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. As he's watching this image of angels going up and down the ladder, Hine Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem was there standing over him in this dream. Vayomar, ani Hashem elokei Avram avicha velokei Yitzchak. Haaretz asher ata shochev aleha lecha adnenu lezarecha. The land that I'm going to give you, the land that you're on right now, belongs to what? Belongs to your descendants. I'm the God of Avram. I'm the God of Yitzchak. I'm going to be here with you, and this is your land. And your descendants, pasuk gedal, are going to be numerous. And Hashem's giving all these brachos. So what's going on? What's the imagery of the angels going up and down? And then Hashem talking to Yaakov. Ready for this? Listen to this line. Says the Ramban, V'her'ahu ki hu yizbarach nitzav al ha'sulam. He displayed to Yaakov how Hashem himself is standing over the ladder. U'mavticho le'Yaakov b'havtocha gedola. And Hashem, as Yaakov is watching, all the things, again, he's seeing a microcosm of all of the happenings of the world. All the angels being dispatched to the different places. Right? Angel, you go to, what did we learn about yesterday? The Tashbeit, or is he from Algeria? Right? You go to Northern Africa, angel, and do your thing. Sends another angel, you go to Los Angeles and do your thing. Right? Angel, you go to, I don't know, Australia and do your thing. And then Hashem turns to Yaakov with a havtacha gadol, with a big guarantee and promise. And he says, Yaakov, I'm going to take care of you. This land belongs to you. You're going to be a great nation. I was the God of your father, your grandfather. We're going to do this together. I'm going to fulfill my promises to you. You know what a chizik that is? What was Hashem saying to Yaakov? Lohodia, underline this line. Lohodia shehu lo yeh biyad hamalachim. David, you hear? Hashem promises Yaakov, you're not going to be, your life's not going to be governed by malachim. Your life's not going to be controlled by anyone but Hashem. Hashem's going to oversee the details of your life. No angels are going to be sent to provide for you. Aval, these such beautiful words. Aval yeh chelek Hashem v'yeh imo tamid. You are the portion of Hashem. You get much more direct hashgacha pratis. You're not subject to intermediaries. Direct. Kamosha amar v'hine anochi imach. What does Hashem say to Yaakov in Pasuk Tes Vav? I'm going to be with you. Ushmarticha b'chol esher telech. I'll be by your side every step of the way. I'm going to send malachim to guide you. Ki ma'alaso gedola mishar ha-tzadikim. Because Yaakov's madrego is so great. It was even greater than other tzadikim who are told, shenamar behem, ki malachav yitzav alach lishmarcha b'chol derachecha. What does David HaMelech say in Tehillim? A righteous person, Hashem says, I'll send malachim to watch over you. Yaakov, Hashem says, Yaakov, you're such a tzaddik. I'm going to go by your side. No angels, no intermediaries. And we have to understand, Yaakov is who we are. Okay, we're talking about an individual who is obviously so great. Right? But we're not called B'nai Avram, we're not called B'nai Yisrael, we're called B'nai Yisrael, we're called B'nai Yaakov. In other words, Ma'isa Avo Simon Labanim, we can also choose to live with Hashem, to walk with Hashem. Right? I can live on this higher level. It's such an amazing idea. Va'aldas Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, and if you look in the Medrash, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, one of the early Midrashic works, which Rashi quotes again all the time, Rabbi Eliezer explains, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. It's called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer because the first Medrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, which for those who don't know is a very similar story to the Rabbi Akiva story. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus also, for the first several decades of his life, wasn't learning seriously, and he became religiously inspired, you know, Rabbi Eliezer, from every Mishnah in Shas, Rabbi Eliezer, learning Tanis yesterday, the first Mishnah, Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, right, when do we start mentioning Mashiv Ruach and Rida Geshem, that Rabbi Eliezer, he was in his 20s when he became from, when he got serious. You know what his father wanted to do when he got serious? His father said, I'm going to disown you. I promise you, I'm not making this up. His father said, I'm going to cut you out of the will. And then Rabbi Eliezer went and he learned by other tzaddikim in Yerushalayim. He became a big Talmid Chacham. His father, who didn't want his son to learn but had respect for rabbis, came to Yerushalayim, found out that his son is now one of the Gedolim, right? And was really shaken to the core when he realized, oh my gosh, I told my son he shouldn't learn because he's not going to be Chashev, and look how Chashev he is now. Look at the change of heart, you know? You see it happen all the time. Parents who don't want their kids to be so frum. But then when their kids build a nice erlich from, home, parents first feel threatened by it, right? I don't want my kid to be frummer than me. But then when the kid establishes himself and they see what a beautiful home they've built, the parents get so much nachas from it. They love it. They brag about it. And that was the story of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, says, Haisozos hamare ki'inyan beina besarim la'avram. What Yaakov was seeing, yeah, why not? What Yaakov was seeing in this dream is similar to what Hashem was showing to Avram by the Bris Bein HaBasar. In other words, what are all these angels represent? Again, the first pshat we said is just, this is like Hashem sending a message to Yaakov. There's angels being dispatched all over the place. Not you. We're going to have a deep, intimate, personal, one-on-one relationship. That's the first message. But in Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it says that Hashem was giving Yaakov an overview of history. The same way that Avram at the Bris Bein HaBasarim in Parshas Lech Lecha was shown everything that is going to happen, all the exiles we're going to go through. Okay, so for example, Ki hara'u memsheles arba malchios u'ma'alasam v'yiridasam. Yaakov was catching a glimpse of the four malchios, of the four kingdoms, the four exiles, their ascent and their descent. In other words, we're going to go through a lot of struggles in Jewish history. There's going to be times when other nations have the upper hand. Malachim are Olim, but eventually, Yardim. They're going to crumble. It's like we find in Sefer Daniel, Sar Malchus Yavan, Sar Malchus Paras. It describes the ministering angels of Yavan, the ministering angels of Paras. And Hashem was saying to Yaakov, Ki hu yis'ala, yiye imo, b'chol esher yelich b'neim. No matter where you go. When you're under Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem says, I'll be by your side. When you're under Achashverosh, I'll be by your side. When the Syrian Greeks are trying to metame the Beis HaMikdash, don't worry, you'll find that Pach Shemen, I'll be by your side. Hashem says, Yaakov, I'll be with you every step of the way. V'yishmerenu yatzilenu miyadam. And don't be afraid. I'm going to help you to overcome all of these exiles. Now let's just quote, let's finish the piece from the Ramban. He quotes from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, very interesting thing. He says that Yaakov was actually shown how long each of the exiles were going to last. And listen to this. Hashem showed Yaakov, the four exiles, their moishlan, their dominion, va'avdan, and their downfall. Hera'u sar malchus bavel ola shivim ukim v'yored. It was a very big ladder in the dream. He saw the ministering angel of Bavel go up shivim ukim, 70 rungs, and then it went down. Why? Because for 70 years, right, we were exiled after Chorban Bayis Rishon. So the Malach ascended 70 rungs, but then had a Yerida. And then Hashem showed Yaakov, Haro, Sar, Malchus, Madai, Ola, Chamish, Mushnaim, Ukim. He saw the ministering angel of Madai go up 52 rungs and then fall down. Haro, Sar, Malchus, Yavan. He showed him the ministering angel of Yavan that went up Meo Ushmonim, Ukim, went up 180 rungs. And then went down. And then Hashem showed him the Malchus of Edom, which is the Galus we're in today, Chorban Bayis Sheni, sitting here patiently, or not so patiently, waiting for Bayis Shlishi. And what did Hashem show him? Hera'u sar Malchus Edom ola ve'inu yored. He showed the Malach of Edom ascending, but was not revealed to Yaakov what? When the Malach was going to descend. Amalo Yaakov, so Yaakov said, Achel Sha'ol Turad. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Tagbiya Kanesher V'gomer. Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does this mean? Is he ever going to descend to the depths? And Hashem responded with the Pasuk in Ovadia, Im Tagbiya Kanesher. If he soars above like an eagle, the end of that Pasuk is, even if he makes his nest among the stars, eventually, the end of the pasuk is Yisham Oridcha No Hashem. Hashem says, "Don't worry. Let them think that they're going to go forever. The higher they rise, the bigger they're going to fall." And that's where we are. We're in a galus that we don't know where the end is exactly. We don't know. We knew the Nevi'im told us after Chorban Bayis Rishon, 70 years, we're going to come back and build Bayis Sheni. We don't know. The fourth and final galus. We don't know how it's going to end. We don't know exactly when it's going to end. Been almost in it for 2,000 years. We don't know exactly when it's going to end. It's very scary. But Hashem gave Yaakov the guarantee. And part of the challenge of the end of days is having a muna when you don't know exactly when the tzara is going to end. It's a very important thing for us to think about. Right? Everyone has their own timeline where we'd like, you know, how we'd like things to play out. A lot of the anxiety in the world today is people wanting to be in control of a situation they can't control. You know, so someone comes to me and says, I'm feeling frustrated. I've been dating for so long and I just want to know, you know, just want to know like when I'm going to get married. That's part of the Nisayon, not knowing when you're going to get married. Maybe the next person you date you'll marry, maybe you'll date for another 5 years. You'll be really frustrated the whole time. But part of that is the Nisayon, this final Nisayon, which is really a Nisayon of Amunah. Do I believe that Hashem is with me? And that's what Hashem is saying to Yaakov. Even when it looks really scary, you know, the final Malach didn't come down. Does that mean that Edom is going to rise to power and never fall? Hashem says, the higher they rise, the bigger they'll fall. Trust me, I got this. That's the guarantee that Hashem gave Yaakov Avinu. Okay, so all of that captured in a little dream about a ladder. Really amazing stuff. Okay, let's go to the next Ramban. Pasuk Yud Zayin. So what happens next? Yaakov wakes up. He says, I didn't realize that Hashem is in this place. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayira, Vayomar, Ma Nora HaMakom Hazeh. Wow, how awesome is this place? Ein Zekiyim Beis Elohim V'zeh Shar HaShemayim. How awesome, how awe-inspiring is this place? This is the Beis Elokim, this is the house of Hashem, and this is the Shar HaShemayim, this is the gate to heaven. Yeah, this is the gateway to heaven. What was he saying? He woke up and he realizes he's in Beis HaMikdash. I'm in the place of Hashem's house. That's true, you're in the spot of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is the gate to Shemayim. What does that mean, this is the gate? What does that mean, this is the gate to Shemayim? So first he quotes, at length, he quotes the opinion of Rashi. Rashi explaining what happened, how Yaakov originally walked past Makom HaMikdash, and then he realized, wait, why didn't I daven at the place where my ancestors davened? And he, according to Rashi, he started to go back towards Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem made Kvitza Saderech, that what? That Har Moriah came to meet him along the way. Right? He was going back, he went and made it to Charan, he was going back, he was in Beis El, and all of a sudden Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to make it easier for you. Instead of you going all the way back, Hashem took the Makom HaMikdash and brought it to Yaakov. That's what Rashi says. Ramban says, what? That's not what happened. Chazal talk about Kvitzas HaDerech. Kvitzas HaDerech doesn't mean that Hashem picks up the land and brings it to you. It means Hashem helps you to get to a place more quickly. Like when Eliezer is trying to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak, and all of a sudden he arrives the same day that he left. How did I get here so quickly? Right, Hashem didn't move the earth. Hashem, you know, Baal Shem Tovdik, put him in a wagon and flew him across the world. He got to the place more quickly. So the Ramban doesn't like, he quotes Rashi, he doesn't really like Rashi's pshat. But then towards the end of this very long piece, let me borrow your sefer, let me see if I can find it quickly. Who's got the our edition? Let me see, just for a second. Turn towards the end of the piece, it's probably its own paragraph, yeah. On page Kuf Chaf, Umatzasi, the paragraph Umatzasi. In the right-hand corner, right-hand side, right-hand column. You see where it says, Umatzasi Ode Meforash Mepirkei Dei Eliezer? So says the Ramban, I'll tell you what happened. Here's what happened. Okay? This is interesting. Listen to how he presents it. Umatzasi Ode Meforash Mepirkei Dei Eliezer. Amar, Yaakov said, Ben Shivim Vesheva Shana Haya Yaakov Bitseso Mi Beis Aviv. Yaakov was 77 years old when he left his father's house. Now I told you, that's not exactly correct. The Mefarshim clarify, when Pirkei Dei Eliezer says he was 77, it means he left when he was 63. He went to learn, right? He went to learn for 14 years. When he finally takes his nap here and has the dream of the ladder, Chazal say it's the first time he's taken a real shluff in 14 years. So he was 77. Okay, but that was still, when he was still in Eretz Yisrael, that was still called Beis Aviv. So I was 77 years old, right, when he left his father's house. V'haisa be'er mahaleches lefanav mi be'er sheva. And he had a be'er, he had an actual well that traveled along with him, right? I mean, how did he supply himself with water along the way? He had a travel miracle, a traveling be'er that traveled with him. V'ad har moriah mahalech shnei yamim. And from be'er sheva to har moriah was a two-day journey. And he got there at midday. He arrived at midday. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov. Hashem says to Yaakov, Yaakov, halechem b'tzikloincha. You have bread in your bag, in your backpack. V'abe'er lefanecha. And you have a water supply. So in other words, you don't need to keep going. You could stay here. It's a desolate area. What are you going to do for food and drink? Hashem says, Yaakov, you have food. You have drink. Lecho v'lishtos. Maybe take a nap over here. Hashem wanted Yaakov to sleep in that spot. What does Yaakov say back to Hashem? A midday nap? It's the middle of the day. Ribono Sholom. Amar lefanav, Ribon kol olamim. Ad achshav yesh l'shemesh yiridos malas chamishim v'ani shochev b'makom hazeh? The sun still has X amount of degrees to go until it sets. You want me to just go to sleep? Right? I was always like a big issue like in the summer months, you know, when my kids were little. So it's like their bedtime, but it's like still light outside. It's like, you can't go to sleep when it's still light outside. I was like, yeah, but it's like 9 o'clock. Your bedtime's like 7:30, right? It's the summer. Like, that's just, yeah, but daddy, I can't go to sleep when it's light outside. So what's the source for that? Yaakov Avinu. Hashem says, Yaakov, go to sleep. Go to sleep? The sun's still in the sky. What do you mean go to sleep? So what did Hashem do? It says the Medrash, Uvalo ito baha shemesh mimarev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of its regular schedule, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the sun to set prematurely. V'hibit Yaakov v'ras Hashem eshba b'marav. Yaakov saw that the sun was setting in the west. V'yolin sham. Okay, so now it's time to camp out. So Yaakov got comfortable. Shenemar v'yolin sham. Kiva Hashemesh. Yaakov settled there because of the sun set. Lokach Yaakov shtem esrei avanim. This is all from the Medrash. Yaakov took 12 stones. Me'avne hamizbeach. Shene'ekar alav Yitzhak aviv. This is fascinating. Where did he get these 12 stones from? Is what the Medrash says? The Medrash says he took from the Mizbeach. He took stones off that Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was still there. What Mizbeach? The Mizbeach that Avram built when he put Yitzhak on the Akedah. He took those same stones. It's amazing. He took the stones from the Mizbeach, Shenekar alav Yitzhak aviv, and he placed them around his head. V'sam osam mirash osav. Why did he place 12 stones around his head? Lohodia sha'asidun lamod vimenu shnei masar shvatim. Yaakov, in a prophetic moment, was taking from the protection of his father, right, the schus of the Akedah, to protect himself. He placed it around his head, 12 to allude to the 12 shvatim which would come from him. Vinasu kulan evan achas. And the Chazal tell us, miraculously, the 12 stones became one. Lohodia shekulan asidim lios goy echad baretz. Alluding to the fact that while we're 12 different shvatim, and every person, every shevet has a unique koach, a unique energy, but Lamaisa, we're one people, we're Am Echad, yeah?
Yeah, the Shvatim afterwards.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. How did Yaakov know that he was going to have 12 children?
I think there were a lot of other news in the
yeah,
on
I
this,
don't know.
So like maybe it's like fine, but...
Ruch HaKodesh. Or maybe, yeah, Hashem, I don't know, Hashem guided him to take 12.
Were there 12 stones there only?
No, I imagine there were, it sounds like he took from the Mizbeach, so right. It sounds like it was probably more. I don't know. But Hashem brought them all together to say, Yaakov, yes, it's true, you're going to have different children, but... You're a team. Of course, the pasuk Shenemar Mika Amchi Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. Right, we're one people. You can never forget that. For all of our differences, we have to remember, at our core, we're one. Hishkim Yaakov Aboker BePachad Gadol VeAmar. Yaakov woke up in the morning with great trepidation, and he said, Beisul Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Makom Hazeh. I can't believe I just slept in Beis Hamikdash. I slept in Hashem's house. Shinemar, Vayira, Vayomar, Manura Hamakom. Now, Chevra, underline this next line. Ready? Look at this. Mikan Ata Lamed. What does Yaakov say? This is Beis Elokim, this is Shah Shemayim. Mikan Ata Lamed, from here we learn. Shekol Hamispalel Biyushalayim. For the Nativ Chevra, this is extra special, you know? Sometimes you forget. You forget you're so close to the Kotel. You have to go down once in a while to daven. Shekol ha-mispal b'Yerushalayim, but it's all of Yerushalayim. Anyone who davens in Yerushalayim, ki'ilu mispal ha-lifnei kisei ha-kavod. Wow. Hashem is always available to talk. But when a Jew davens in Yerushalayim, what does Yaakov say? This is the place. This is the Beis Elokim, v'zesh shar ha-shamayim. This is the gateway to heaven. When I daven in Yerushalayim, it's as if I'm standing mamish lifnei kisei ha-kavod. Sheshar ha-shamayim, Patuach l'shmoa tefilas anshel Yisrael. This is the place that tefilos are more readily accepted. Shenemar v'zeh shar shamayim. What a beautiful line. The power of tefillah in Yerushalayim b'frat, specifically. So what did Yaakov do next? V'shov Yaakov l'laket ha'avonim. So then Yaakov took his stones, he gathered stones. U'matzo son kulan evanachas. He went to collect the stones, he found there were one big stone. V'sam osa matzeva b'soch hamakom. Remember the difference between a matzev and a mizbeach? What did we learn earlier this year? The good old Glock days. A matzev is what? A matzev is a single pillar stone, right? A mizbeach is a composite of many different stones. So Yaakov now had this matzeva. He had this one big stone. So he took this matzeva. V'yorod lo shemen min ha-shamayim v'yotzak aleh. And he poured oil on it. Where did he get oil from? Where on earth did he get oil from? It says the Medrash, oil descended to him from the heavens, and he poured it on the stone. Shenamar v'yitzok shemen al roshai, poured oil over the head of the stone. Ma asa kadosh baruch hu, listen to this. What did Hashem do when he saw that Yaakov, you know, brought this offering to Hashem in that place? Natal regel yamino, Hashem kiviyachol took his right leg. V'tiba es ha'even ad imkei tohomos, and he stepped down. He pressed down on this matzeva. Hashem pushed it down into the depths of the earth. Va'asa oso snif la'aretz. And Hashem made it like a keystone of the earth. Ka'adam shunosin snif la'kipa. Like a person who makes a keystone for an archway. You know, very often when you see, it's an architectural style, right? you see there's like, you know, like the point where the arch hits the top. So sometimes that stone is like a special type of stone. It has a special engraving on it, or it's made of a special material. That's called the keystone. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this spot where I'm going to build the base of Mikdash, this is going to be the stone. This is going to be the stone. What is that stone? So usually we talk about the spot of the Kodesh Kodashim, the Evan Shasiya, the foundation stone, as being the stone from which the Kodesh Baruch Hu started creation. But here we're learning that the spot of Kodesh Kodashim, concludes the Ramban, Lefichach Nikres Evan Shasiya, this is the foundation stone, Shesham Hu Tabur Haaretz, this is, so to speak, the Tabur means like the navel, this is the midpoint of the earth, this is the central point of reality, Umisham Niftach Haaretz. So Hashem kind of combined sort of the place where he began creation, what we call the Evan Shasiya, combined it with Yaakov's Matseva, it sounds like, right? This altar that Yaakov built, and that would be the place where Beis HaMikdash was. Va'aleh Heichal Hashem Oved. And that's where Hashem's palace stands. Shenamar va'Evan hazos asher samti matseva yia Beis Elohim. This Evan became Beis Elohim. U'misham nasar raglav u'keharaf ayin ba'al acharan. And then Yaakov quickly picked up and ran off to Haran to get back to the mission at hand. Okay, very interesting description. Right? So says the Ramban in conclusion, V'yinei ha-medrashim kulam afal pi sheyesh b'yineim chilos v'miksas. So again, we only read this last medrash, right? But from all the different opinions that we find in the medrashim, it's not like Rashi. Again, what did I tell you Rashi said? Rashi said he didn't actually go all the way back to the Makom HaMikdash. Hashem brought the Makom HaMikdash to Yaakov. This medrash says no. He says he went back to the spot. So what is Kvitzas Hadar? What was the Kvitzas Hadar? He got back quickly to the spot. Aval kula modim shekvitzas ha'aretz ha'isli Yaakov shehalach mahalach kama yamim kharafayim. Yaakov was able to get somewhere in the blink of an eye. But it's not that Hashem transplanted or transported a place to Yaakov. V'yitachin shekula modim zeh lezeh. Again, there's little differences in the Medrash, but they all agree to the same basic idea. U'v'chol halichos of kafsalo. Wherever Yaakov went, he was able to go quickly. He ran back from Haran, he ran back to Haran. B'lechtu v'yersheva l'charan, he went quickly. U'v'rtzoso l'shuv l'har moriah, he came quickly. U'v'tzeso misham l'charan, he went quickly. V'ein echad mikol medrashim sheyomer k'divrei Rashi. But none of the medrashim say like Rashi, that he was running back and Hashem brought the land to him. That's not what kvitzas saderach means. Not that Hashem shrinks the earth and brings the earth to you, but Hashem quickly brings you to that spot. Okay, make sense? It's such a beautiful medrash about Yaakov recognizing the power of davening, specifically in Yerushalayim. Okay, let's turn to Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Beis. A little bit about Yaakov's arrival at the well. Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Beis. Okay, so Yaakov comes to the well. And he sees a bunch of shepherds hanging out. And there's this Eben Gedola al Pi HaBe'er. There's this huge rock on top of the well. So what does Yaakov say to the Chevra who's camped out over there? Chevra, it's the middle of the day. Why are you guys chilling? Get back to work. You're shepherds. Why aren't you providing water for your sheep? What do they say? We have to wait till everyone gets here so we can move the rock off the well. What does Yaakov do? What does Yaakov do? He rolls the rock off the well himself. Why do I need all of this? This whole story Yaakov shows. I mean, we want to get to the point where Yaakov meets Rachel. Do I need this whole back and forth? Yaakov has this conversation. The Torah has to record the conversation Yaakov has with some guys who are hanging out on the side of the road. We need to know that. That's important. Why is that important to us? Why is that important to us? Says the Ramban, a beautiful Yisod, Perek Chaf Tes Pasuk Beis. Vayar v'hinei be'er basadeh. V'hinei sham shlosha edrei tzon rov tzimaleh. Yaakov comes and he finds a well, and he sees three flocks of sheep that are crouching there. Ya'ari ha'kosu b'sipur hazeh. You know why the Torah tells us this? Ba'arichus. Lahodienu ki kove Hashem yachlifu kach. Chevra, how do you feel when you fly to Eretz Yisrael? Or you fly back from Eretz Yisrael? Fly better. We fly to Eretz Yisrael, you're excited. You fly back from Eretz Yisrael, right? So what did you do that was so was so tasking. You sat on a plane for 12 hours, 11 hours, 10 hours, whatever. Right? But you're like wiped out from traveling, you know? The stress of the airport and like discomfort from the plane. You just like want a hot shower and you're just, you didn't sleep well on the plane. Right? You're exhausted. The last thing you want to do is be asked to perform a strenuous task. All right, I need to like just collapse into bed. I need to rest a little. Yaakov didn't have the luxury of, you know, flying around. Yaakov is traveling around. He's schlepping here and there. In the good old days. He's schlepping from place to place. Yeah? Hashem gives him kfitza sadarach. True. That's going to be part of this. Right? But naturally, you would expect Yaakov to be exhausted. He finally comes to this place. And the first thing he's invited to do is some strongman competition. And he does it with ease. How could that be? Says the Ramban, that's exactly the point the Torah is trying to make. When you're traveling with Hashem and for Hashem, you have endless strength. He quotes, he says, Ki kove Hashem yachlifu koach. Those who put their trust and hope in Hashem, yachlifu koach. Their strength is literally exchanged, but it means that their strength is renewed. V'yir aso titein oz. And that sense of mission, that sense of God awareness gives strength. If he should have been exhausted. He just got off the road. He just arrived in town. And he's able to remove the stone that what? That it should have taken so many shepherds to remove. How did he do it? He did it because it was a sense of divine mission. And it's such a big yesod in life. When you need to accomplish for Hashem, let's think about the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, about Hanukkah. Yeah? What does the Gemara say, Reb Shner? The Gemara says that they came to Beis HaMikdash, and what happened? What did they see? Timu kol ha-shmanim shebeheichal. All of the oil was tummy. What would you do? What would you do if you came to Beis HaMikdash and you saw that all of the oil was tummy? No, what would you do? You would say, okay, nothing I can do. What can I do? No? The Gemara's lashon is precise. Timu kol ha-shmanim shebeheichal. At first glance, there was all the oil had been ruined. Where did they find the jar of oil? I mentioned it last week. Right? Tosva says, how do you know it wasn't even touched by a Greek soldier? It was buried in the karka. It was buried in the earth. Why are they digging in the earth? Why on earth were they digging in the ground? That's not where the oil is kept. Timu kol ha-shmanim shebeheichal. Why are they digging in the ground looking for a hidden jar of oil? Oh, look, we found buried treasure. How did they do that? How did they know to look there? It was a mesorah, there was a jar that was buried in the earth. With the steel, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol wasn't in charge of oil. What was going on there? Kol ha-shmanim shebeheichal. And yet they searched, and they found. You know why? Because what does it say in Maseches Megillah? Yagati u-matsasi tamen. If a person says, I made an effort, and I achieved, they should be believed. You know why? Because chaver, whenever you make an effort for Hashem, when you make an effort for holiness, you achieve something. The Gemara's language is precise. The Gemara wants us to recognize what the average person would have seen when they walked into Beis HaMikdash. Timu kol ha-shmanim. Hopeless. But a tzaddik says what? Kove Hashem yachlifu koach. I'm not giving up. There's got to be a jar here. It's got to be here. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants Beis HaMikdash not to go on. Hashem, they knew Beis HaMikdash has to go on. We got to find that oil. It's got to be here somewhere. So they started looking in crazy ways. They started digging in the ground. And lo and behold, they found that jar of oil. Right, so Yaakov Avinu, he comes, he sees an impossible task in front of him, but he says, I'm walking with Hashem, I'm not tired, not exhausted like normal people. The Yogal Levado, heaven, he rolls off the oven that should have taken many shepherds to remove. Ushlosha edreit so and asher lahem, roim rabim vishomrim, kulam rov simalah, einim yacholim lagia klau, lahania klau. Right? You have three groups of shepherds with lots of sheep there, and they couldn't move it one bit. This exhausted guy from the road rolls into town and he plucks it right off. It's amazing. Because when a person does for Hashem, you find new strength. Right? And you're not intimidated by something that seems impossible. You become like Bas Paro, who what? Well, according to Rashi, her arm stretched out to grab onto Moshe's basket. I think the Kotzker Rebbe was the one who said, why'd she put out her arm at all? She can't reach it. You do what you can. She put out her arm. I'll do what I can. If Hashem wants me to be successful, we'll figure it out. And a miracle happens. Her arm extended and she was able to retrieve baby Moshe. You know, the Moshion Shal Yisrael, the savior of the Jewish people. But a Jew tries. Right? All these shepherds, they said, nah, we know we can't do it. Yaakov says, I know if I go for a shepherd, I don't know how I can do it, but I can do it. And he does. plucks it right off. Yeah? Want to say something?
Yeah, so with Noah on the
table. Exactly. Noah on the table. Exactly. Exactly. You do what you can. You do what you can. Hashem will figure it out. It's a big part of the Hanukkah story. Why'd they light the menorah? They didn't have enough oil for it to last for 8 days. We'll do what we can. When you do what you can, it always goes farther, Chava. When you respond, when there's so often in life a Yetzirah that says, don't. And if you say, I'm going to do what I can, I guarantee it always goes farther than you imagine. How far it goes, that's up to Hashem also. But it always goes farther than you imagine. Your effort always goes farther than you imagine. Because when you work for Hashem, Kove Hashem Yachlifu Koach. Okay, but then he quotes a Medrash who adds one more interesting point. Ularabuseinu Bevereshus Rabba, Chazal and the Medrash say that this is also hinting to something in the future. Gambezel lehem sod remez la'asid. This is hinting to something in the future. What are these three? Again, everything in the Torah is precise. Why were there three groups of shepherds and sheep gathered there? And what exactly does the well represent? This is beautiful. It's beautiful imagery. Okay, you'll save this one for the next your next Yom Tov table. It's a good Dvar Torah. Listen to this. Ki nizdam in lo kocha shenichlas b'derech ha-be'er. That he had this encounter by way of the Be'er. V'lo nesu kol ha-adarim rak shlosha mehem. Uva b'zman she'even al pi ha-be'er v'adarim shomrim la. Yaakov arrived right at the time where there were three groups specifically. And that the Be'er was covered up. And they were watching over it. The whole Indian have a super kana. You know what this whole story is really telling us about, hinting to? Lo diya sheatzliach b'derech hazeh, v'yetzi mimenu zera zoicha l'remez hazeh. Why did Yaakov have this? This is like his first encounter as he's about to find his shidduch and build a bayis nema and be Yisrael. Why? What's this image? He encounters a bear, and there's a rock on top, and there's three groups of shepherds around. What's it hinting to? It's hinting to something about his family in the future. Ki abe'er yirmoz lebeis hamikdash. Where do we draw our spirituality from? Everything that we have is drawn from the Beis HaMikdash. We're drawing, even in Chutz La'aretz, even in the time we don't have Beis HaMikdash, we're drawing from the energy of Beis HaMikdash. That's the place of Ashras HaShechina. Right? That's the place that we draw our Ruchnias from. Right? Literally, the Yerushalmi says that when did Yonah get his prophecy, which he ran away from, where did he get it? He got it by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, on Sukkot, on Chol HaMoed, they used to have these big celebrations in Beis HaMikdash. It was called the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Shoeva means what? The celebration of the drawing. What was drawn? So the Pashup Shad is they had a water drawing ceremony. You know what the Yerushalmi says? It's also called Simchas Beis HaShoeva because Misham Shoavin Ruach HaKodesh. When a Jew would come to Beis HaMikdash, you would draw Ruach HaKodesh. You would draw holiness upon you when you came to Beis HaMikdash. So the Be'er represents the Beis HaMikdash, the place where we draw our spiritual sustenance from. What are the Gimel, Edrei, Tzon? What are these three groups, these three flocks of sheep? Ola Shlosh Regalim. It alludes to the Shlosh Regalim. Kimena Be'er Hahu Yashu HaAdarim. Three flocks of sheep being watered, being nourished by the Be'er represents three times a year where a Jew comes to Beis HaMikdash to nourish his soul. The Shlosh Regalim. Shemisham hayu shoav in Ruach HaKodesh, like I just mentioned. That was the place where he would draw spiritual sustenance. Oshu yirmos ki mitzion teitze Torah. Or maybe, you know what else it could hint to? Maybe it's not hinting to the Ruach HaKodesh you got from Beis HaMikdash, but maybe it's hinting to what? To the Torah that you got from Beis HaMikdash. I'm sure we were learning yesterday. That even after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, in the 1300s, we still saw people traveling to what? Either to Beis HaMikdash, even in its state of Korban, or gathering places of tzaddikim. Because what the Beis HaMikdash was in a place, the tzaddikim are in a person. To draw Torah, shenim shala lamayim. What does the Gemara say in Bava Kama? Ein mayim ela Torah. U'dvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. V'nes v'shama kol adarim. So all of the what? All of the flocks would gather there. Ba'im milavo chamas ad nacham mitzrayim. That represents the Jewish people gathering, coming to Beis HaMikdash. V'galu asa evin v'hishku. And when a Jew came to Beis HaMikdash, what evin was removed? We know it, right? There's an evin on everyone's heart. The Lev HaEvin. There's a part of us that sometimes feels distance from Hashem. You come to Beis HaMikdash and you unclog the spiritual blockage of your heart. And you fill up, you're nourished by Beis HaMikdash. Shemisham Ayushov and Ruach HaKodesh. And then afterwards, what? Veheshivu Asa Even Munach L'Regel Haba. And then you put the stone back in place, and you're nourished until the next regal. But these three clusters of sheep gathered around the Be'er represent the Jews coming to Beis HaMikdash to draw spiritual nourishment. Yaakov is getting a glimpse again of his own future, of how the Jewish people in the future are going to continue to draw from that hashpa of Mikdash, which again Yaakov recognized himself, right? Ein zekim Beis Hashem, Beis Elokim v'zeh Shaar Shamayim. He had been there, he had experienced it. Yeah.
What's the significance of the three presets?
The three again represents the Shalosh Regalim.
Well, that's but I thought it had to do with these generations.
No, not generations. Three times a year. Right? He says explicitly, Gimel Edrei Tzon Ole Shalosh Regalim. Right? The three groups of sheep hints to three periods of the year where a Jew travels to Beis HaMikdash. Okay, chaver, last but not least, one final Ramban. Let's learn a conversation between Yaakov and Rachel. It's a very painful conversation on the surface, but it'll teach us a tremendous yesod in davening. Okay? Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Okay, so Yaakov loves Rachel. He ends up marrying Leah. And Baruch Hashem, things are starting to move along in a good direction, sort of. Children are being born. But Rachel is very frustrated. Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, V'teira Rachel ki lo yolda liYaakov. Rachel realized that she has not had children. What do you mean she realized? She didn't know? She suddenly realized? Strange lashon, she realized? She realized she didn't have children? V'tikanei Rachel ba'achosa, she became jealous of her sister. V'tomer el Yaakov, hava li vanim, v'im ayin mesa anochi. There's one of our anochis, by the way. For those keeping score. Yeah? What does she say? She says, Yaakov, give me children or I'm a dead person. Dead person? What does she mean, I'm a dead person? So Rashi says, we learn from here what the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim, that there are four people who are considered like dead. A blind person, unfortunately, is considered like dead because they feel so cut off from society. A person who's impoverished, who's poor, feels very disconnected. One of the examples on that list is what? A person who doesn't have children. You feel very stuck in life. I want to build a family. I want to move forward. I want to be able, everyone else is sending their kids to school and yeshiva and camp. And right? Everyone's making play dates for their kids on Shabbos. And I'm without children. You feel very stuck. You feel like my life is dead. It's a very, very difficult struggle for people who struggle with infertility. You should never know from it. You should daven for people to be blessed. Whenever I go to a chasna and I see the Chasen Akal, the Chuppah, I always just daven. Hashem, please make sure that they have children. Daven for a lot of things, but I always daven. Hashem, help this couple. They're assuming they're going to have children, but not everyone does. Hashem, please, don't put people through that tsar. Make it easy. Okay, but Yaakov gets very angry. Yaakov responds to Rachel, Pasuk Beis, Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel, and what does he say to her? Vayomer hatachas elokim anochi. Do you think I'm in place of God? Asher mana mimeich pri vaten. You're blaming me? It's not up to me, it's up to God. And Rashi makes it even more painful because Rashi says to her, it's not my problem, I have kids. It's your problem. Ouch. Did Yaakov really say that to Rachel? I'm good, I have kids with Leah. I'm fine. What do you want from me? Really? That's what he said to his beloved Rachel? That's what Rashi says. Very hard to imagine such a thing. Okay, so let's take a look quickly at this Ramban. Hava Livanim, give me children. Amar Mefarshim, the Mefarshim explain, Shetispal alai. What was she asking? She's saying, Yaakov, daven for me. V'im ayin mesa anochi. Lashon Rashi, Shemisha in lobanim, chashav kames. And that's based on the Medrash and the Gemara. V'ani tameya, says the Ramban, I don't get it. Im kein lama chara apo, v'lama amar hatachas alokim anochi. V'shomei el tzadikim Hashem. Why do you get so angry? You want me to daven for you? Yeah, I want you to daven for me. Well, what was so crazy about what she asked for? If that's what she was really asking for, why did he get so angry? Am I in place of God? Hold on a second. Yishomei al tzadikim Hashem. Hashem listens to tzadikim. My husband, you're a tzadik. That's all I'm asking. I'm just asking you to daven. That's all I'm asking. Why are you getting so mad at me? Umasha Amar. And that which Rashi further interprets here, right? Abba lo hayu lo banim, ani yesh li banim. When she says, why can't you daven like your father did? When Yitzchak and Rivka had infertility problems, they davened and that worked. Yitzchak's tefillahs were answered. So he says, well, what do you want? My father didn't have any kids. I have kids. It's not my problem. Mimech mana, mimeni lo mana. From you it's being withheld, not from me. So says Ramban, what? A tzaddik only davens for someone if they're no geya b'davar. The tzaddik can't bring himself to daven for someone else for their problem? You go to a tzaddik and say, I have a problem. Tzaddik says, well, it's not my problem, so what do you want from me? It's not how a tzaddik responds. Tzaddik says, I feel your pain and I'm going to daven for you. Such a strange Rashi. Vine Elio ve'elisha espalu bad nashim nachrios. We find the prophets daven even for non-Jewish people to bring them success. V'nira shebishvil zed. Tifasu Rabbosenu. Amru Bereshis Rabba. Amru Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's for this reason we find in the Medrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Yaakov, Kach Onen Es HaMeikos. This is how you respond to a woman in pain? It's not my problem. It's your problem. You know what Hashem says to Yaakov? Chayecha, by your life. Oh, Yaakov, you lost your cool here. You're going to pay for this. Shebanecha Asidin La'amod Lefnei Banah. Your children, your Leah children, are going to stand in front of her Yosef. You weren't sensitive to her pain. In the end, the children who you said, I'm good, I have children, those Leah children, those Shvatim, they're going to be bowing down to Yosef in Mitzrayim. How can you respond to a broken woman like that? The Medrash criticizes Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, how can you talk to a woman in pain like that? But says the Ramban, this is all within Rashi, this is all within the Medrash. It's hard to understand. So let me tell you what I think is really going on, Al Derech HaPshat. Al Derech HaPshat, Amr Rachel Yaakov, Sheitain Lavanim. Rachel says to Yaakov, give me children. Uve'em es daita lemur, what she was really saying to him was, Sheispal alea ad sheyitain labanim al kopanim. Please, I'm begging you, daven until I have children. You have to figure this out for me. Because if not, I'm going to die from the pain. She's pressuring her husband. She's saying, you have to daven, and you have to keep davening until this gets worked out. Because what? Because I can't live like this. The pain of not having children and the jealousy of my sister, I can't live like this. So she spoke in a very strong way. Dibra shalo kahogan bikin asa. In her fiery feelings, in her desperate emotional state, she spoke in a way that was unrefined. V'chashva, and she thought, ki ba'avaso osa yis'ani Yaakov, v'yilbash sak ve'efer, v'yispalel, ad sheyulo banim shelo tamas b'tzara. And she figured because her husband loves her so much, he's going to put on sackcloth, he's going to place ashes on his head, he's going to sit fasting and davening until she's answered. So she's being dramatic, right? She's being intentionally very dramatic, and she figures if I act very dramatic, my husband will take me seriously. And he'll do whatever it takes to make sure that I have a child. So that I don't die from the pain. But Yaakov got very upset. Vayichar af Yaakov. Yaakov got upset. You know why? She'ein tefilas ha-tzadikim biyodam shetishma. V'se'one al kolpanim. He says to her, well, hold on a second. You think that's how this works? I can just bully Hashem into whatever I want? I can daven for you in a serious way. But don't threaten me. Don't threaten me. Make my tefillos be accepted. Make your tefillos work, otherwise I'm going to die. Hold on, that's not how you talk. Of course I love you. Of course I'll go to bat for you. Right? But you think that just because I'm a tzaddik, I can... Hashem has a master plan. I can't bully Hashem. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Don't make your tefillah set. Right? Don't make your tefillah keva. Al tasa tefillas la keva. Don't make your tefillah set. Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Maran, that keva also, kuf beis ayin, also means in Tanakh, that shoresh is used elsewhere, to mean stolen. Don't steal your tefillos. You know what that means? Don't demand of Hashem with a heavy hand. Because if you push hard enough, sometimes you'll get what you want, and then you'll realize, shoot, that's bad for me. And Hashem says, well, you bullied me into it. I tried to say no. You didn't listen. Don't steal your tefillos. Don't kidnap Hashem. Don't force your hand. So says Yaakov Avinu to Rachel, I know you're in pain, and I care deeply about you. Right, but you have to understand that even as a tzaddik, there's still a way to daven. Uva avor she dibra derech gagu'e hanashim ha'ahuvos la'afchido b'misasa chara'apo. And because she was talking like a woman who's, you know, acting like a woman sometimes acts, very emotionally, Gagui Hanashim, Hahuba, she's acting like a beloved woman who sometimes will almost manipulate her husband to get what she wants, right? And saying, oh, I'm gonna die if you don't do this for me, I'm gonna die. Right? Yaakov says that's not an appropriate way to talk. Not to me, not to Hashem. Ulakach Amr La, She'ena b'makom elukim, she'yifkoda akaros al kolpanim. And he said to her, and I can't, by the way, at the end of the day, I can't decide which barren women are going to be blessed with children. Ve'eneno choshesh b'davar, so the Ramban asked before, but isn't that so mean to respond to his wife like that? He wasn't concerned, you know why? Ki mimena nimna priha betin v'lo mimenu. He wasn't worried because he had children. What does that mean? Vizeli yaser osa ulahachlima. He wanted to what? To inflict pain upon her and to shame her. Why? With the best intentions. What did he want to happen? Think of the story of Chana and Penina. Very similar story, no? Yekusiel, tell us the story.
Well, Penina was basically kind of like mocking and making fun of...
Penina's got this big family, right? And Chana, poor Chana, is not blessed with children. What does Chana's husband say to her? The wrong thing that a husband should say to his wife, right? You got me, you don't need kids, we have each other. Right? And she says, that's not enough, I want a kid. I want a child. Then she goes and she davens, and Eli thinks she's drunk, and that becomes the foundation of tefillah. Penina was punished for what she did to Chana, but if you look in some of the Rishonim, her intentions were very pure. She wanted Chana to feel more pain so that she would daven even stronger, and that her tefillah would be answered. Yaakov did the same thing to Rachel. Yaakov is saying to Rachel, what do you want from me? He's hoping that's going to help her in a certain way, become so desperate and not even rely on a tzaddik, that the only one to rely on is who? It's Hashem. There's a maisa, I think it was with the Apter Rav, the Oiv Yisrael. A couple ones came to the Apter Rav, to the Oiv Yisrael, the Chetzatim Kaddish Levracha, and they said, Rebbe, we need a bracha for kids, we don't have children. So the Rebbe said, I'll give you a bracha, but here's what I charge. I charge for a bracha. So they said, we have 50 ruble. Rebbe says, I charge 250. So they go home and they're scrounging around and they're borrowing from all their poor friends, and they come back and they say, Rebbe, we have 100, 150. Mamish, we worked so hard to get this 150. Please, like, a discount. We want, give us a bracha, we should have children. Rebbe says, 250. Not budging. This is not a sliding scale. This is my rate. Take it or leave it. They go back and they're like, again, they're trying to round up a little. 225. Come on. 225. Nope. $250 an hour. That's my rate. So finally, in frustration, the woman says to her husband, she says, you know what? We don't need the Apter Rav. Forget this. We don't need his bracha. Let's turn to Hashem. And the Apter Rav says, that's exactly what I was hoping you were going to say. Now I can give you a bracha. When you thought that tzaddik is the ticket to your success, he says that's a perversion. Hashem is the only ticket to your success. Oh, once you say, we don't need the after of, good, you're right, you don't need the after of. You don't need the after of, you need the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yaakov was doing to Rachel. Yaakov was getting Rachel so frustrated to the point that what? V'inei atzadekes v'rosa shalo tuchal yisamech al tefilas Yaakov. When this tzadekes realized, my tzaddik husband, who we learned at the beginning of this week's parsha, was promised by Hashem, I'm going to be your right-hand man. We're going to go together. Come on, daven for you. You can't force Hashem's hand. Yaakov says, nope, you're on your own. So you know what she does? She takes it to heart. Shova lehispala atzma. She takes it to heart to daven for herself. She takes the message to heart. El shomea tza'aka. She turns to the one who truly hears the cries of the downtrodden. Vayishma elea Elohim. And that's in fact what happens at the end. Hashem listens to her. That's exactly what happens at the end. In the end, Hashem listens to her. And then the Ramban ends off and he says, of course, Ulai Nitakin Adasar Bosenu, Kiyakov Efsher Shalon Ispal Al Ishto Ahuva Kiakari. Of course, Yaakov was davening for his barren beloved wife. El Shalon Iskabla Tfilaso. But Yaakov saw that he couldn't get his tfilos answer. Uva Ata Rachel is Olav. So Rachel complained to him and said, what's going on? Why can't you get me kids? Can't you do something? Your father did the same thing. To which Yaakov got angry and he said, "Ki adavar biyad elokim v'lo biyado." At the end of the day, it's not up to me. Even as a tzaddik, there's nothing I can do. It's not that Yaakov didn't daven. It says Ramban, of course he must have davened. But at the end of the day, he says to her, "It's up to Hashem." And she took it to heart and she was very depressed. But she took her pain to Hashem and she davened to Hashem. And vayishma elah Elohim. Hashem answered her. It's gavaldik. Okay, Oz, you had your hand up first, then Kobe. Yeah, they got the bracha. Yeah, of course they took the bracha. Yeah, but once they understood the role of a bracha, then they could take the bracha. For them to take it earlier was a avodah zarah. They were relying too much on the tzaddik. The after was trying to teach them. Once you say, we don't need the after, oh, now you can get the bracha. Now the bracha can work. That's a really, it's a very powerful story. And we have to remind ourselves. Al tivtuchu bin divim, b'van adam she'ein lo tshua. We say in Halal, right? We don't rely on, can't rely on human beings to, human beings can't provide. Sof kol sof. At the end of the day, it's Hashem. Yeah, Rav Kobi, what do you say?
So why then was the prophet, was
right. So I guess the same way that, you know, again, sometimes we have to do something, but there's still consequences, right? I mean, Penina was doing the same thing with Chana. She was trying to bully her into davening more heartfelt tefillos, and it worked. She got Chana to get really depressed. She got Chana to daven. She got Chana to be blessed with a child. But Penina, you hurt her feelings. In the interim, you hurt her feelings. So, what do you call it? The Vera Lishma? I don't know what to call that either. Yeah, right, also, right. Maybe because her child came about through such tsaras, right, that the child became, you know, that much more elevated. Became a Yosef at Tzaddik, yeah. Could be.
About the Likutim Aharon, they stayed.
Yeah, don't steal from Hashem, yeah.
Like, how do we know when, like, where the line is?
Very hard question.
Just, like, davening or something every day for months, like, maybe.
Right, super hard question. All right, how do I know when Hashem is saying, no, stop asking? And how do I know when Hashem is saying, not yet, keep asking? That's a really hard question. When you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you daven to get to Eretz Yisrael and Hashem says, stop asking, so then you stop asking. Right? But in our own life, how do we know when Hashem is saying... See, part of the problem is when we daven, and what Rabbi Nachman is saying, is don't tell Hashem exactly how it has to be. Be a little bit flexible. Don't say, Hashem, I want this. Right? Say, daven, sometimes more generally, Hashem, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I think would be good for me. But Hashem, included in my tefillah, is what? Is Hashem, please, make sure that it comes out in the right way. Right? So, but that's really hard. I don't know how to answer that question. That's a really hard thing. You see people who daven and daven for years and years and years. And sometimes it never changes. And sometimes after years and years and years and years of hoping and dreaming and davening, something happens. The doctor said, you'll never have a kid. And this couple davened, and they went to tzaddikim for brachos, and they davened and davened and davened. And after 15 years of marriage, suddenly she's pregnant. Unbelievable. You know? Yeah.
I feel like I've learned something that, like when you daven, you should be specific. So, because, like, if you're not specific, then you're doubting that Hashem...
You should ask specific. But you should also have the humility to say, Hashem, you know what's best. Right? And that's part of the emunah, to continue to daven. Right? Again, we're supposed to try to see things as we see things. Hashem gave us a brain. We have to, but we also have to have the humility when it doesn't work out. Right? To trust that that's also meant to be. It's a very hard question. In life in general, it's hard to know how to interpret the signs. Right? If I'm having financial success, does that mean Hashem likes me? Or is my financial success my spiritual downfall? I don't know. How do I know if it's... Thank you, Hashem, for helping me to be so financially successful. Maybe that's... Hashem's like, what? I'm making you rich to knock you down. It's a punishment. Oh, sorry. I thought it was a reward. How do you know? That's a very, very hard question. I mean, I have other thoughts on it, but it's a very hard question. I don't have a clear mahala. I'll point you to a couple other pieces of Torah. Tzadok talks about it in Tzidkas Tzadok. How to know. Just because you're being matzliach doesn't mean that it's what Hashem wants, which is a very scary idea. So how am I supposed to know if I'm, you know, how do I read the signs? Okay, Chavra, let's stop here for today. So just quick chazara, 30-second chazara. One of the Yidden who listens to the Ramban Shir and Eretz Yisrael in the recordings likes when I do a 30-second chazara at the end. Okay, so this is for you, Kobe Fleischman, for those who know Kobe. Yeah, so what do we learn today? We learned what? We learned number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yaakov, you're not bound by angels. You have the ability to what? To be the Chelek Hashem. And we learned that the imagery of the ladder is a Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, a picture of all of the Galios. And then we learned about the incredible Schus of Davening in Yerushalayim, right? How Yaakov Avinu, it's not that he had the land brought to him, but he was able with Kvitzas Adarach to get back very quickly, and he davened in that place. And a person davens Yerushalayim, it's like davening by the Kisei HaKavod. And then the Medrash says his Matzeva became the Evan Chesia upon which the base HaMikdash was built. And then we learned, what did we learn after that? And then we learned, how Yaakov had incredible strength by the Be'er, right? Even though he was exhausted from the journey, he had a lot of strength, because Koveh Hashem Yachlifu Kalach, a person who puts their trust in Hashem, gets renewed strength, and how the Be'er also is Merames to the future, the base of Mikdash, Shlosh Regalim. And then lastly, we learned about the conversation between Yaakov and Rachel, how Yaakov was not really, again, according to Chazal, maybe he was being a little bit harsh on his wife, but really what he was trying to do was to encourage her to daven and not rely on him, and in the end, she relied on Hashem, and she was zeichet to have a child. Okay? Shkoyach. Gevaldik.